This podcast is supported in part by Australian Ethical.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This Saturday night on SBS, it's the Bunga Bunga to end all Bunga Bungas. Watch the funeral of Silvio Berlusconi, live and unpaid for. See the mafia give a 21-gun salute into the side of a black Mercedes full of political enemies, while Berlusconi's open casket is paraded down the street as the Italian Revenue Agency showers it with shredded tax returns. Then, the traditional ceremony of passing a nondescript paper bag stuffed with cash to a lawyer who will then pass it to a policeman who will then order his unit to cast Berlusconi's coffin into the wet concrete foundations of a highway off-ramp that will never be completed, buried forever, much like democracy in Italy. That's Berlusconi's last Bunga Bunga, live from 10 p.m. Saturday night on SBS.
The following program contains medium coarse language and traces of nuts. A Rational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences. Comedians, experts, laughing at the world as it burns down around us. This is...
Are you ready?
A Rational Fear.
Tonight, Domino's Pizza is set to close 70 stores around the world. Business analysts are saying that this could be the start of a Domino's effect. And a defiant Donald Trump has said he has every right to store top secret documents in the toilet, claiming that he had a secure system for destroying a few of them every morning. And with interest rates rising for the 12th time in 13 months, RBA boss Phil Lowe has advised Australians to aim for a positive cash flow by getting second jobs or simply sacrificing a tenant during the next blood moon. It's the 15th of July, 2023. This is A Rational Fear.
This is A Rational Fear.
Welcome to Rational Fear. I'm your host, former Victorian Cross recipient Dan Illich, and this is the podcast that takes the scariest news and laughs in its face. Let's meet our fearmongers for tonight. She's an award-winning comedian and an award-winning journalist, which makes her one award better than us. From the Schmite Guys podcast, it is the highly decorated Ange Lavoie-Pierre. Ange, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
And, you know, for Schmite Guys, you kind of dive into the deep, dark corners of the internet. Mm. Do you need a license for that?
I've revoked mine, but I'm just hoping that no one notices. Please don't say anything.
You did an old left turn at 4chan when you should have gone right like the rest of them. Also, our next guest may be celebrating his slow progression from his mid-30s to his late-30s later this week, but thanks to his six-month-old daughter and doctors and 3 hours of treatment a day, he feels like he's in his mid to early 30s. It's birthday boy Lewis Holler.
Oh, thank you, Dan. Yes, that's right. I'm
Thanks to doctors, have taken me back to before back pain, before grey hairs, before eye bags. I've never looked more like I'm 33.
Before your interest in interest rates, that is something.
I am losing my mind a little just with sleep and whatnot. People don't often talk about this, but babies, they don't work on your schedule, you know? They live their own life. But no, honestly, like, every day for Olive is like Ferris Bueller's day off. Like, she just leaves the house, and everything that happens to her is like the greatest thing in the world. Alex and Olive were walking through David Jones yesterday. The pianist, who's like, you know, the one who's always playing in David Jones, just like called her over. He's like, what's her favorite song? And they're like, Old MacDonald. He's riffing out Old MacDonald. He's just like, everywhere she goes, people are like, bring this child over here and let me turn her day into the greatest day ever. And you're like, if you can just get into like the slipstream of a baby's life, you can actually have a glorious time.
Do you ever get jealous of the baby?
Of course. Of course. Yeah. I'm a show pony. Yeah. She's getting so much more attention than me.
But,
you know, what are you going to do? You can't fight the child.
No, it's not frowned upon.
I've checked the laws and they do not like it.
When she's of comprehending age as to what national radio is, do you think she'll be excited that you were once a national radio broadcaster?
I think radio will have died a long death by then, and it will be like saying that I used to work at like a travel agent, or I used to like write.
It'll be
the
like
phone
saying
book.
You used to have a podcast.
Yeah, it'll be like, oh yeah.
I mean, I wonder what's better. I mean, it might just be quicker to say that you're unemployed or whatever. Like, I don't know.
That's right. Yeah. Which is kind of true.
This is Irrational Fear.
What is rational fear?
It's based in fear.
Taking the saddest headlines and giving them a little tickle.
All right, let's get stuck into the fears. This week's first fear. According to Gizmodo, US intelligence has amassed a sensitive and intimate data on nearly everyone. They've done it legally. Apparently, in order to tap your phone, they actually need a warrant signed by a judge, but they can't do that at scale. So what they do is they tap their credit card and buy millions of people's phone data from commercial data brokers. And this is like a loophole that's been open for ages, like 7 to 10 years, US governments. And finally, like, the US government has kind of been embarrassed about the behavior of the US government. And so the Office of the National Intelligence Director has released this report, hoping that Congress will close the loophole on these laws. But it's so strange. Fearmongers, are we surprised? Do we just operate knowing that the government knows everything anyway?
Yeah, I guess, like, to a large extent, right? Like, I feel like no one is surprised by this. They're like, yeah, that checks out. Like, no one's like, I'm appalled. You know, people expect this to be the case. Although I think it's a matter of degrees, right? Like, people expect a degree of surveillance, and then sometimes they're surprised, and it turns, and the people, like the people at the, like, the 5G march turn out to be right, like, once every 3 years. And I think this is one of those times where, like, and I just hope that this doesn't, you know, lead people to think that, like, vaccines are made of, like, 5G or whatever. I don't know.
Well, it will.
The 5G conspiracies are a conspiracy theory of now. Like, I feel like the conspiracy theory that the government, man, is watching everything you do, man, is, like, from the late 90s.
It's like we got bored of that one. You know, like, do you remember that big, and it was quite anti-Semitic as well, this big anti-Semitic documentary from about, 15, 20 years ago, and it was like, the banks, they exist to take your money, and they put you in debt. And everyone, like, there were a bunch of people who maybe, like, didn't know the news or whatever at the time, who were like, I don't know, 19, and they were, and maybe it was like one of the early, it couldn't have been 20 years ago, because I feel like it was on YouTube. And people were like, oh, that's crazy. Have you seen this thing? And, like, banks are evil. And, like, if you, and I think I was a journalist at the time, like a very, like, baby journalist, but I was like, yeah. And
that's their business model.
And that's, this is that story, but for them, it's like, this is like a real dog bites man thing, you know?
Do we know what kind of intel they've got?
Apparently it's like anonymized. So it's just a giant swathe of data that's been so-called anonymized. But, you know, you can still tell when a group of people have been at a protest, or you can still tell when a group of people have kind of been doing other stuff as a whole.
Oh, so it's location data. It's like where they've been.
Where they've been and what they're looking at on the phones, you know, I guess kind of their internet access as well. Like, my data would be so boring if the government saw it. It'd be like, you know, oh, look, I'm afraid Dan Illich has been sourcing parts to enrich his Dyson vacuum cleaner. According to his location data, it's the third time this week he's been conspiring with a contact known only as Pie Face.
Actually, if you could send me that Dyson link, I need a new cap for my filter. But
I've been scrolling eBay for the last couple of days, Lewis, okay. And let me tell you, the prices of Dyson products are ridiculous.
Of course, it's not surprising. I there's American government, you know, obviously with Snowden and all. Like, there are so many times where they've just been like, oh yeah, we have been accumulating data on all of you all the time. But it doesn't seem to help them predict anything. Like, I feel like the Americans have been gathering a lot of data on Americans, and it hasn't stopped Americans stopping Americans being American. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like they're doing anything good with this data. Like, they haven't stopped the riots, they haven't stopped the killings.
They haven't stopped, yeah, the mass gun violence even, at any school over the last 20 years.
Conspiracy theorist is like, oh, well, you know, it's all the, you know, the right-wing CIA nut jobs who, like, they're not even using it to, like, stop AOC, you know what I mean? Like, they're not using it to do anything. I feel like these people might just be hoarders.
The scarcity mentality gone wild. I love that.
Like, they're just going to, like, you know, those like storage units. And they're like, oh, maybe there's some data in here. Haggling, giving someone cash to break it open. Like, yeah. You just go to their house, and they're the kind of people who just have old cars on their front lawns. They're like, there could be data in the car. We haven't opened the glove box.
What are you most worried about the government knowing about your lives?
Honestly, I kind of assume if they wanted to know, they could. And if someone was like, oh, they know everything about you, I'd be like, ugh. Like, obviously it's wrong and I should be more angry, but I wouldn't be that surprised.
I've totally given up on protecting my data at all. Like, I really have. I guess I've just kind of taken an open book policy and started saying things on air. Like, most of this season of Schmeichgeist was me disclosing personal information about myself. Like, you know, my, like, mental health diagnoses, being poly, like, you know.
CCV number.
Yeah, yeah, just like bank stuff, like, you know, just cool, like cool fun details. And you know, and I'm like, if I say it, then it's not illegal, right? And that's kind of what I'm going with. I think I'm probably breaking some labor laws by like being here at the ABC still. But that's it, I think. Yeah, I'm eminently prosecutable, and nothing that they could steal from me would change that. That's just the case anyway.
You're breaking labor laws by working back late?
I haven't left the building in a while.
I feel like
that's how they get you.
Maybe like if we get to a point where everyone follows the sort of like confessional comedian approach of like on January 1st, everyone just does a big purge. It's almost like it'll be like Catholic confession, but just like on some sort of blog where we all just are like, here's the fucked up shit I did this year. Good luck, government.
It's like the AEC returns for your browser history.
It'll be like that scene from V for Vendetta where everyone just like takes off, like everyone shows up and takes off their mask and they're like, you can't shoot us all. It'll be like that, but for like drug crime and things.
Yes, it's the I Am Spartacus of Pornhub searches.
Your fear is rational.
Lewis, if you were to posit a guess about who would be one of the Fund Managers of the Year finalists for 2023, what would you say?
Fund Managers of the Year. Dan, I mean, if I went through all of my favourite fund managers, we'd simply be here all day.
Have a stab at one. Who is like, you know, who's the king or queen of being a fund manager? In your experience, as somebody who's got many funds, many bank accounts on the go, I know you've got more bank accounts than Angus Taylor.
Historically, I've liked to invest all of my money in human trafficking. But recently, I've decided that is not an ethical thing to do, and so I've moved most of my money from human trafficking. I've left it in cocaine for a while, but now I've taken it out of that.
Right,
I put it all into Australia's Fund Manager of the Year, Australian Ethical.
Yeah, well, they're a finalist. I don't know if they've won yet. But anyway, yes, Australian Ethical.
Well, unfortunately, it can be quite hard to compete financially against drug cartels because say what you will about their ethics, they're pretty good at cash.
Well, Lewis, I would like to say right here, right now, that Australian Ethical is our winner. Not a finalist, our winner of so Fund true. Manager of the Year.
They've won our hearts, and that really is what you want from a fund manager.
Speaking with hearts, you may have seen their campaign in the streets, Invest with Heart, on every billboard around metropolitan capital cities. That's them. That's Australian Ethical. So if you see one of those billboards and you're listening to this right now, you should give yourself a little scratch and sniff sticker. You've done very well.
I really did. I was at a bus stop the other day, and I was like, damn, that's a vibrant ad, which is not a thing I think very often. And then I looked at it, and I was like, oh, it's for Australian Ethical, the people who sponsor our show. And I felt quite good about it, you know? Yeah. I was like, hey.
And you should feel good about it. Good and ads. I know, here's the thing. Do you know one of the number one reasons people don't sign up to the Patreon, other than it's a cozy living crisis, is because they love this banter about Australian Ethical.
Oh, do they? They love to know whether or not our money is currently, how much of our money is currently in human trafficking.
But yes. Anyway, so if you want to support us, you can go to Patreon as well, and we'll love you. You could be our, could be our fund manager of the year.
If you want to give us enough money on Patreon, you can pay us to just do ads for you.
That's
specifically.
A great idea.
And we'll just go.
We'll be completely transparent about it. We're very ethical about it ourselves.
We'll just say, this is an ad for Shane. And then we'll just do an ad for you, and we'll talk about whether or not you do human trafficking. And we'll do it for money.
That's it. That's it. Chip in. You know what? The first person to give us $20 a month, we'll do that.
I'm not sure. If we're still advertising for Australian Ethical or the Patreon, I've lost perspective.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
We're begging for money. That's what's important.
Big thank you to Australian Ethical. They're jumping on board for another 5 episodes, which is terrific.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This week's Second Fear, Tony Abbott, John Howard are joining forces with Jordan Peterson to figure out the meaning of life. Yes, finally, thank goodness, the Alliance for Responsible Citizenship, which is funded by a bunch of right-wing billionaires who've invested in a thing called GB News, which is a 24-hour news service which has less viewers than this podcast, which isn't that hard, actually. Well, this podcast, I found out this week, has more listeners than Breakfast on Radio National. The owners have basically made all of their money from Russian fossil fuel oligarchs. And we at the ARC do not believe that we are necessarily or inevitably teetering on the brink of apocalyptic disaster. That's because they're only watching GB News. And we posit instead that men and women of faith and decisiveness made in the image of God can arrange their affairs with care and attention so that the abundance and opportunity could be available for all, which is code for let's mine and drill, baby, everything. It's a kind of a very controversial take to go against other leaders of faith like the Pope and King Charles, who have to say the opposite about that. But, you know, so be it. They're also really concerned about elitists gathering to force their will upon populations.
Yeah, you're not suggesting they're accusing other people of doing the very thing they themselves are doing, are you, Daniel?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
One of the first classic principles of Anyway, someone who you don't want to be associated with.
It's several layers of irony, though, obviously, because we are also like a shadowy elite, and we're gathering here talking about them gathering there talking about another shadowy elite. So it's kind of like.
Can I just say, if this is what it feels like to be elite, like renting a Sydney house that I can't
shadowy
hit.
Shadowy elite.
It's fucking shadowy.
I'm looking at the live YouTube stream at the moment. I think we're down from 12 to 1. So we lost a lot of people in the last 23
minutes. Does feel a bit like GB News. I did see that Tim Smith, friend of the show, appeared on GB News. Did you see that this week?
I did. I saw he was reporting on Ukraine as a news reporter.
Yeah.
Tim Smith, former disgraced Victorian MP on GB News.
Yeah.
Wow. Reporting on what's happening in the streets of Ukraine. To his credit, though, he knows a lot about defence, so he's very good.
He was also talking a lot about Australia's renewed love of the monarchy. So he's a guy who's really got his finger on the pulse, I think.
Oh, God. These people have their finger on the pulse too. ARC, the what are they called? The Alliance for Responsible Citizenship. One of the things they want to overcome is young people's cynicism about capitalism, which segues us nicely to talking with Ange Lavoie-Pierre. Your latest episode, well, the episode two episodes ago, was so fascinating. It was about how Gen Z and millennials are basically giving up on capitalism.
Yeah, and it's so good of them to ultimately, because really it can be hard to find data. And if they're saying it, then I guess it must be true. But there was 2018 polling that showed, and this is Australian polling, by the way, so 59% of millennials at that point had given up on capitalism. They believed that it had failed. And of course, it's just been peachy for capitalism since then in Australia. So you can only imagine that that number, 59%, has dropped, there being no housing crisis or cost of living crisis. So yeah, but at that point in 2018, 59% of Australian millennials. I guess we kind of, we wanted to work out if that meant any, like if it was going anywhere, like what happens to all that rage? Because like it wasn't, and you know when you're like setting out to, I don't know, you're setting out to make a story and you're like, oh, this is going to be like, there are some elements that are predictable. We're like, we're going to go do some voxies. We're going to go out onto the streets and just ask some random young people what they think about capitalism. And I'm like, I'm just going to get great grabs that way. I just know that people are going to like sound off the second I'm like, hey, capitalism. And they did. They did exactly what we thought they would and exactly what we wanted, which is just be like, it's shit. And like just,
that was an amazing part. And I loved this part of the episode where you kind of threw up that old maxim that, you know, if, when you're 25, you're a socialist, but by the time you're 35, you're a capitalist. But now that's changing because all the 35-year-olds are millennials and they don't have anything.
Yeah, but here's the thing. This is what I didn't realise is that, like, that maxim, like, if you're not a socialist at 25, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative at 35, you have no brain. So it goes.
That's right.
That has actually, I mean, not the, like, the brain and heart thing, like, the you know, that's not medically proven at all, but, like, that drift to the right has held up and every generation, and
even ours.
No, we're the exception.
Oh, okay.
So millennials
we're
are changing.
The first ones. Right. And because like it's not just ones, like right? We're not just like at 35 now. This is the funny thing that I've had in promoting this episode, like talking about this episode all around the ABC. They're like, right, because like millennials must be like 32 by now, and I'm like, no, we're 42. 42
40.
Is the oldest millennial.
They're aging out of the demographic of ABC Sydney. That's what's happening.
Oh, yeah. No, they're nearly old enough to enjoy watching Miriam Margolyes do shit.
Well, we'll see. But they're like 42 now, and they're not. So the 2022 election would have been like a perfect time for millennials historically to start voting for the coalition, but they went the other way. There was like a 20-something percent swing. Don't have the figures handy, but yeah, like a massive swing against the coalition, more pronounced in the millennial cohort, obviously. And yeah, and Gen Z are kind of just off the map there. They are, and this is the authoritative like main survey that we trust in Australia, the Australian Electoral Survey. Gen Z are the most left-wing that any generation has been out the gate, like in their voting patterns. So it's one thing because we're always saying like, oh, Gen Z, they're more progressive than, you know, than their forebears. But it's actually playing out at the ballot box as well. Anyway,
fuck yeah.
Yeah.
So all the worry, all the whatever it is, citizens for responsible citizenship or whatever it is, worried about like the rise of Antifa are right.
Yeah, they're not wrong. Yeah. I mean,
they're just worried about their own place in the world, their own existing power hierarchies, the Alliance for Responsible Citizenship. And when you look at the quality of people who are joining that particular one, like Tony Abbott, John Howard, they're the new kids on the block.
No, they're on death's door.
Admittedly, Andrew Hastie signed up too.
I mean, the interesting part, though, of that, like maybe the more interesting part, because on some level, I think we have an, like, we all have an innate sense that people are pissed about capitalism. And it, like, you know, there are a bunch of interesting ways that plays out online. My favorite of which being like a drama that unfolded about Depop resellers, where you, you get accused of being a landlord if you've been to, like, if you're taking stuff from op shops and then selling it for a markup on Depop. And just the fact that everyone, you know, they were using words like, oh, you're gentrifying op shops, so you're gentrifying thrift stores, and just like absolutely dragging, like we're talking like thousands of comments on this one video
Can I give you a secret?
What?
A little secret?
What?
Sometimes I look in shops with my significant other, and we buy things and then we sell them at other shops as a hobby for more. Does that make me a landlord?
Oh, in our midst, in our very midst.
That's so surprising. That's so out of character. Like, not even the capitalism element, which is like, hey, you're a podcaster, you got to make a living. That it's more the like going into clothes and having like an eye to upsell things. It feels very off. Like,
what surprises me about you? What's the markup, Dan? Like, are we talking like 200%, 500%? Like, give me a price. No, tell me.
30%, maybe 40%.
I don't believe you.
Oh no. Sorry, no. Actually, more like 200%.
But it's like these are clothes. Like the amount of money you're doing here is like you are.
Minimal.
Not a landlord. Yeah. You are not causing a clothing crisis.
One of the things I loved about this episode, Ange, is that you made the point that, you know, all these young people online complaining about each other only enshrines current power structures to the point where while all the young people are fighting each other, the people who hold the power are still kind of maintaining the power.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things going on. You've got, on the one hand, this like, so everyone's like, splitting from the centre, but they're not uniformly crumbling left. So in Australia, it is a little bit more pronounced, but you also kind of see, you know, for example, we now have like MAGA communists. That's a thing. You have these really idiosyncratic bundles of beliefs that never belong together. Like people who are like, yeah, like climate change is a huge problem and we're really worried about it, but gun rights are probably the way to solve it. Like, and like, people who are like, there's like 16, you know, like, and so, and also they might run, and they're also very, very schooled in like political theory. They'll like, they know more isms than I know. Like that's, I can't even like, there was like, one of the people we interviewed for the podcast was like, yeah, so like, you know, I spoke to this like primitivist 16-year-old. I'm like, I could not tell you what a primitivist believes. Although I subsequently found out that it might be Ted Kaczynski. Anyway,
How appropriate that episode went to air, considering he passed away.
I know. I might have made it happen. But it's So they're crumbling to the edges. Not all of it is uniformly to the left, and so you kind of have this like this. You know, whatever a coalition would look like, a broad coalition that was like, you know, a critical mass in the electoral system that would, I don't know, overthrow neoliberalism is...
But still that's I feel like that's a big thing to say. I mean, when these kids are like 12, 13, they're still kind of experimenting and thinking about, you know, politics and their place in the world and how politics works.
Totally.
But, you know, by the time they're like voting age, maybe that's a little bit different, you know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like, the beliefs that those people have at the moment, there are no candidates really for them to vote for. So, and in an electoral system like the US, obviously, they just don't, like, they don't vote. But what is interesting is that we kind of have a bit of a blueprint for this in the form of millennials, candidates such as AOC becoming elected, people who fall well outside the like neoliberal norm, people who are not saying the current system works, that those people have a chance. And so you might end up seeing the political system mirror what has happened in, well, every other part of society, which is this fragmentation. So you don't have like two centrist parties like fighting it out. You potentially have, you know, a bunch of fairly weird candidates who believe a range of things who have been elected on smaller and smaller numbers. But anyway.
Which is why I'm here to announce I'm running for President of the United States, representing the Decent Price for Dyson Replacement Parts Party.
You got one vote, buddy.
Oh, dear.
Ange, thanks so much for joining us on Irrational Fear. That was super interesting. And you can go and listen to Schmeitgeist wherever you get your podcasts. It's a great great series.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That is it for Irrational Fear. Big thanks to Angela Vapierre and Lewis Hobber. What would you like to plug? Lewis, got anything to plug?
No. Check back in soon, Dan.
And you plugging anything?
Yeah. Well, apart from the podcast, I'm actually hosting and have programmed the Vivid Sydney's first ever comedy debate this weekend.
Yes, I saw
We're
this.
Debating monogamy because someone's got to, and the winner gets to write the laws from now on about who, what kind of, what relationships are legal, because that's worked out very well in the past.
Aren't you in the big pockets of Polly? And I do say pockets.
Yes, yeah, I'm totally biased, but I'm not gonna debate. I'm just gonna judge it, so it should be fine. So my bias won't have any bearing on the
that's
result.
That's great. I'm totally biased, but that's cool. I'm just the judge.
I'm just the judge. That's what they call it in debating, right? The judge, the referee.
Ange, have you thought about a post-ABC career at PwC? You'd be great.
Yeah. Wait, let me get a pen. No, we've got, can I, so it's Norman Swan. It's Norman Swan, the famous comedian Norman Swan.
And huge fuck machine.
Yeah, who I'm getting him to argue for, against monogamy, I should say. Alex Lee, James Colley, Annalise Constable, Elfie Scott, Anna Piper Scott. No relation. It's a ridiculous lineup. It's 6:30 on Saturday evening at the Sydney Vivid Ideas Exchange, if anyone's around.
Excellent. Very good. I'd like to plug Lewis's birthday.
Oh,
happy birthday,
thanks,
Lewis.
Buddy. Yay. Thank you very much. I do love gifts. If anyone would like to send me a gift, I will accept them.
Road mics, could we please send Lewis a birthday gift?
I told you off air, Dan. They've got 2 weeks to give me a bunch of free shit or else I'm publicly buying a bunch of their competitors' merchandise.
while I'm talking about Road, big thank you to Road for supplying most of our gear.
I'd like to say a big thank you to Shure Microphones. That is Shure Microphones.
No, we don't use Shure. We use Road, the Australian brand Road. Australian Ethical, also a sponsor of this podcast. Our Patreon supporters, please, we need a few more. We had a few drop out while I was sick. So please jump on patreon.com/irrationalfear. There you'll get to see the link for the live stream. Also, you will get access to a version of the podcast without an ad. Also, you'll get early uploads of videos that are almost complete so you can criticise them. It's
a
really
live stream, all of Dan's future surgeries.
That's right, yes. My surgery, they got bounced back to September because, I got COVID, by the way. So this is why my surgery got pushed back. I hosted a gig for Russell Crowe and I'm pretty sure I got it from a party afterwards where I was sharing a joint with RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan.
Worth it.
I'm pretty sure your big government data doesn't have nothing on that until we do the transcription for this podcast and it goes on.
I was texting you all night as that was happening and I was on holidays and I was trying to have like phone silence for a few days. And I broke the silence because I'm like, I just need to know everything that's happening at this gig, blow by blow. And when you texted me that the RZA was hanging out backstage and that Russell hadn't turned up to his own gig because the Rabbitohs were losing, I was just like, this is my favourite story. I would do any, I would like get on a plane and leave my, at the time, like 4-month-old child to come and witness this story. Makes me so happy.
We record Irrational Fear on Gadigal land in the Eora Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded. We need a treaty. Thanks very much, everyone. Until next week, there's always something to be scared
Thank
of.
You.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is supported in part by Australian Ethical.